Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 13th of December, recording at 9:29 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets, they were mostly lower, including China, which is at 33-month month lows, been down, I think, at least 5 out of the last 6 weeks, possibly 6 weeks consecutively. And in the European stock markets, a mixed performance here, tiny percentage changes. About the best one, I see Sweden up 1.5%, and also the UK FTSE 100 index up 1.15%. In the Americas, of the major markets, only Brazil, up 0.25%, showed a gain. Wall Street had been up over 100 points on the Dow at one stage, but then reversed it before closing down 66, S&P down nearly 11, NASDAQ composite down 1.26%. And in terms of catalyst, the Fed statement talking about moderate growth, but it didn't change its policy, and I think some people were hoping for a bit of an additional QE3 type of goose, but it was not forthcoming, and not surprisingly, and Wall Street sold off on that. The U.S. dollar strengthened against that background, and the U.S. dollar index has pushed up above its high of a couple of months ago, and that's mainly due to a weak euro, which has fallen back to 1.3037, to 1.3037, and Sterling's down about a cent, down to 154.86. But the main move is the euro. But the dollar's, again, we've seen this day after day when the stock markets are soft, the dollar is strong. Now, against that background, precious metals were sold off. Now, they had been rallying, and we'd seen quite a good rally in some of them. Silver, for instance, rallied up to 3204, but is currently 3079 after 3045. And palladium, just backing away from its top area, down nearly $20 here today. Gold has fallen right back to its rising 200-day moving average. More on that in a moment. It is currently 1632 and change, having been as low as 1622 and change. Platinum also down, a little reversing an earlier rally. Now, the industrial metals were down in line with precious metals. However, the agricultural commodities were mostly firmer today, and cocoa had an upside key day reversal. Owen has written about that today. And natural gas was a little firmer here for a change. Crude is stronger, up over $2, $99.94, nearly $100 on the WTI, and Brent is at 109.60. And that's say pretty much it. Now, bonds, what about the government bond prices? They reversed earlier declines for the most part, although I see gilts close down a little bit, but again, the UK stock market rallied. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, obviously still a lot of nervousness in terms of stock markets, and That's because really growth is still contracting in Asia. And a concern that I've aired in a number of these broadcasts is that the risk is that these countries would wait too long before starting to reverse their tighter monetary policy. One for sure that has not waited too long, I would say, is Brazil. Brazil anticipated, surprised the markets by making its first interest rate cut a few months ago, and I think it's had four consecutively. The risks are that China and India, for instance, although China is coming off its tighter monetary conditions, it hasn't cut rates yet, and it's a very incremental policy. Now, that's probably still in line with the soft landing, although you'll get, well, soft landings in property markets are as scarce as hen's teeth, to coin a phrase. But for the economy as a whole, they're in a strong position to stimulate should they need to. But there is a risk, again, that they wait too long, and certainly this food price inflation has come down with a bump, at least as indicated by global prices. Now, technically, on stock markets, on the leading stock markets, and let's take Wall Street because the leash effect is such a big influence. But also the European indices, because Europe is the world's largest market, and also because it remains the focal point of global concerns. It would be good for the bullish case if we were to see those November reaction lows hold, and I've mentioned that. None of them are under pressure at the moment. But we are correcting a technically short-term stochastics type overbought condition. And again, there's plenty of nervousness around. So I don't know whether those November lows are those late November lows are going to hold. I hope they do. But the charts will show us. And it's not a disaster if they're taken out. But it's obviously not bullish. The more important support level is at those September and October lows, or a little earlier in the case of some of the stronger indices. And again, Wall Street remains a relative strength outperformer. So do the ASEAN stock market indices. But again, China's weak, India's weak, although India was a little bit steadier in here today. And the problem is global GDP growth. Where is that going to actually come from? Well, we've got moderate growth in the USA, but Europe in recession. So this is an ongoing concern, and there's still signs of deleveraging, still signs of repatriation of capital. From Asia, that's evidenced by the firmness of the US dollar and the weakness of the Asian stock markets. And I think a number of people have said, well, I'm taking more bets off the table, possibly for seasonal factors, but primarily, I think, because there are too many stories of euro breakup. You know my views on that, and the Fuller Money views. We've gone over those many times. Political accord. If they want to keep it together, they can, but the problems are absolutely horrendous. And the politicos in Europe, not having had a game plan for this type of situation, have obviously lost a lot of credibility over the last few months. So there's confidence is low in terms of what they can actually do. The best things that we can say about the stock markets are one, that monetary policy remains accommodative in both Europe and the USA, although There are problems of liquidity freezing up as banks don't lend, and that's mainly in Europe. We have monetary policy beginning to ease in Asia, so that's a positive, at least a cushion in terms of the downside. But there are concerns over global profits, not surprisingly. The autonomies, meanwhile, are really writing their own rules in this environment, and they remain extremely firm. I think Royal Dutch Shell, for instance, hit another new all-time high in here today, and a number of those U.S. autonomies, led by McDonald's, are showing remarkably strong performances. So we continue to favor those inform companies, and a little bit wary about many others. But the background in terms of valuations is reasonably attractive, not least in terms of dividends, and that's important in this environment. And anything that's showing a decent earnings trend and a good dividend that's covered is well supported in here, showing good relative strength overall. Well, bonds, while people remain nervous, particularly in terms of a major European blow-up, I mean, that would be incredibly good for U.S. Treasuries in the sense that yields would fall yet again. And it would also help, say, Australian long-dated government bonds, JGBs, basically anything that was a hedge against the European disaster. So that's the situation we really have. People regard that risk as uncomfortably high, sufficiently high, so that they take a wait and see. And that's not surprising. And it's not all that bad a tactic. And the net effect that it actually has is that people are taking a wait and see attitude and gradually adding to their cash, that means markets drift. But there is a lot of cash on the sidelines, and valuations are reasonably attractive. And my own guess is that we've passed the nadir in terms of the realignment of Europe, although it was always going to be messy, and it's going to remain messy. Precious metals now. What have we got here with gold? I mentioned that it had come back to that rising 200-day moving average. Both silver and platinum are below their 200-day moving averages. So, in commonality terms, the others are bearish. Gold has been the handout, and now it's pulled back. It's broken its rising lows that it showed in that triangular shape that I've mentioned a couple of times. Those lows from August and September down, and the highs of a couple over the last, I beg your pardon, the highs from August and September and downwards, and the lows from a couple of months ago. Up to recent levels. So the November reaction low for gold has been broken. So it no longer has rising lows. It still has those lower highs. It's in the balance here on the short term. There's talk of more gold lending, and I've engaged in speculation. What does a country like Italy do, where it has a lot of debt, which it's had for quite some time, but it's got very weak growth here right now. And although the Italian economy has certainly the potential to grow, we've got a very weak Eurozone in recession. Austerity measures are necessary. Those curtail GDP growth a little bit further. They can't do it all on austerity measures, so really they need to pay down some of that debt. They've got lots of attractive assets, and those include gold. Italy sold gold in the past, so what's it going to sell first if it decides to sell more assets to raise cash? Does it sell more of its substantial gold position, or does it sell lavish, or does it sell palaces and lavish grace and favor properties that it has? It's certainly not going to sell its art. So I think that's a real possibility that we do see a little bit of sales. Now, people have said, yeah, if they do that, that the Chinese and the Russians and or other BRIC countries will snap it up. Yes, quite possibly, but it's tipping the balance a bit in the short term here. Sentiment has already changed. People are more wary of gold. Some stops are being hit, some profits are being locked in. Now, if we get gold going much under the $1,600 level and not bouncing right back quickly, that will indicate a lengthening of the medium-term corrective phase, and that's a real possibility in here right now. But it's, you know, there are cross currents. There are bullish cross currents in here as well. I've talked about gold and US dollars. It looks very strong in just about every other currency and a quite consistent upward trend overall. That's important for the very long term for sure. So the short term to medium term, medium to short term deterioration is primarily in US dollars, and the dollar is an informed currency at the moment, as you know. It's tricky enough so that I've taken my losses in the futures and stood aside and just play a wait and see here. I doubt very much that the long-term fundamentals for gold have changed. I don't think they have. It is a monetary metal that will be remain of interest to investors. Interest rates are not going to go up anytime soon. They're actually coming down now in growth economies. So that's a cushion for gold overall. So I think it'll still remain a relative and absolute performer more often than not. But in the short term, it's on the defensive, and we are seeing globally this continued deleveraging, and that includes hedge funds and other speculative positions that we've seen in precious metals. Now, that's pretty much it. I don't want to abuse you by running on too long in this audio, so all the best.